We're continuing in this session, session 29, on presenting your sermon and finding ways to present your sermon in such a way that it's memorable, but also the message gets through. There are certain things you can do beyond the, you know, using a tricky illustration somewhere or a good introduction, good conclusion, that sort of thing. There are other things you can do that you should be thinking about, and you'll notice the title on the session today, Create Vocal Variety. Or as they sometimes put it in speech classes, play with your voice. How you use your voice can make a huge difference on whether people tune you in or not. And in fact, one study has shown that if you increase your variety, vocal variety, just 10% more, it will have a highly significant impact on how your hearers hear your message and perceive your message. Now, you've all been, I suspect, in a situation where someone didn't use any vocal variety but spoke in a monotone. As I was working on this lecture, I was remembering a professor of mine when I was in college who sat there with a book, and he just droned on and on. And he would, I don't know how in the world he ever got tenure because he was a lousy professor. He would take the book that we were supposed to read, and we were responsible for knowing the content of this book, and he would just kind of page through it and mumble along the way. So, you know, I want you to note on page such and such, in paragraph such and such, these things, and then he'd read it. And then he'd say, and then on this page, and he'd turn another page, on such and such a paragraph, note these sentences, and he'd read them. And he would do this, and it was kind of a monotone kind of expression. Now, how in the world did somebody get in that kind of position? And what in the world will people remember of those lectures? I just remember it was one of my first classes in the morning, and back then I would stay up late studying and get up early and go to school and then go to work after that and then study. And I just remember fighting to stay awake in that class because it was so incredibly boring. And his presentation was so incredibly, incredibly ineffective. And so one way to create interest on the part of your people is to create vocal variety. Now, what does that mean? Well, there are four P's to vocal variety: pace, pitch, power, and pause. We're going to look at each of those this morning briefly. First of all, pace. Now, some speakers, many speakers, speak too fast. Came across this cartoon in the local paper here. You'll notice the young kid, the teenager, is just going, and the mother says, "What?" And he goes on, and she says, "Jeremy, I can't understand a word you're saying. Can't you just talk slower?" And he says, "Well, can't you just listen faster?" Yeah, there's something that's lost when we speak too fast. And I know that a bit. You've been listening to me for a long time now, and you know that I have a tendency to speak fast. And I remember the first time my father heard me preach. In fact, I think it was the only time my father heard me preach. He had some comments for me afterwards. Now, my father had some hearing impairment as a result of working in a factory for most of his adult life with machinery pounding away back then. And so he had a slight hearing problem, and he had hearing aids to do that. But when I would talk, it would be just like gobbledygook to him. He couldn't separate the words so that he wasn't getting the message. In fact, the one person who got an email from a friend who wrote an email to him saying that my typewriter is broken. It says, "Sorry, my email looks like this, but my computer fell out of my flight bag and my space bar broke," right? So just all these words that blend together, that if you're going too fast, that's what's going to happen to people. They're going to have this thing of, I can't grab it. I can't get the gist of it. So you may be that person. Now, I know now, I have learned to adjust the pace slower when I'm in certain settings. When I go into a nursing home, as I do here in my home area, I will be speaking to people, many of whom have a hearing deficit. And there, I will make sure that I slow my speaking pace down. Now, a couple of words about speaking pace. One, conversational tone is somewhere around 130 words per minute, 120, 130. 150 is considered to be about optimal as far as the pace at which you speak. But people can do 190, and people can still mostly, if they don't have a hearing deficit, most people can understand 190 and process that well. In fact, the brain can process things faster sometimes than we can speak them if there is good hearing, and we'll talk about that another time as well. So how do you, if you talk too fast, if your pace is too fast, deal with that? Well, here is an exercise by a woman in New York named Marion Rich. She is a speech coach. She has worked with actors, she has worked with speakers, she has worked with politicians to try to help them be more effective, to be more memorable. And so she gives these directions: mark a paragraph, read it with the breaks, whisper it, and then go back and read it at a good pace. And again, 150 words per minute is about optimal. And so let me just give you an example of how she marked out a paragraph. She said, mark a paragraph, slash, in this manner, slash, into the shortest possible phrases, slash. First, slash, whisper it, slash, with energetic lips, slash, breathing, slash, at all the breath marks, slash. Then, slash, speak it, slash, in the same way, slash. Do this, slash, with a different paragraph, slash, every day, slash. Keep your hand on your abdomen, slash, to make sure, slash, it moves out, slash, when you breathe in, and moves in, slash, when you speak. Before you whisper each phrase, take a belly full of air and then pour all the air into that one phrase. Keep your throat open and don't grind your vocal cords. Lift your whisper over your throat. Pause between phrases. Relax. Then take another full breath and whisper the next phrase. Whisper as if you were trying to reach the back of the room. Once you've whispered the paragraph, then go back to the start and speak it in a conversational way. But again, pour all the air into each phrase and honor the silence between phrases. I can't stress that enough. Take your own sweet time at the forward slashes. Also, take deep pleasure in enunciating each resonant vowel and delicious consonant. Give your lips and tongues the assignment of shaping every lovely syllable. And then he says, do that every day. She says, do that every day, once a day at least, for 21 days, and you will have slowed your pace of speaking. So if that's your issue, if people say to you, and it's good to have a good friend listen to you preach sometime, but if they say to you, you know, you speak too fast, then practice slowing down. So that's what you do if your pace is too great. But your pace can be too slow. The human brain, as I said, can process words faster than we can speak them. If your pace is too slow, you're going to lose your audience, right? And it doesn't matter who it is. One of my worst experiences in that regard was listening to a worship leader. And she had a wonderfully soft and smooth voice and comforting voice. But as she led worship, she would pause. And she would give another direction. And I remember being in a service, and I fell sound asleep. And unfortunately, started snoring a bit. My wife, thankfully, was sitting next to me and woke me up. If you speak too slowly, people will tune out. You won't be able to hold their attention. And they will start thinking of all the things they have to do. They'll start thinking about tasks that they need to accomplish. They'll think about what someone said to them. They'll think about whatever. Children will think about what in the room can I focus on for a few minutes because I am bored stiff. And so if your pace is too slow, remember that you've got to get up to about 150 words per minute, or if you get up to 190, there are some studies that say if you're function at about 190 words per minute, that's where people will say, "Guy, he or she really knows his or her material." And they accord to us maybe more understanding and more expertise than we possess. But it's in that range, 150 to 190. Now, how in the world do you figure out how fast you talk? Well, it's very, very simple. You do a test. You have a timer that's running. You read a paragraph or you read a section of so many words, or you speak it, you say your message, and you time it so that it stops. You divide and say, how many words per minute am I functioning at right at this moment? And so remember, you've got 60 seconds, and so time a 5 or 10 minute place. If you're too slow, then you know, okay, I've got to pick it up. So pace is one of those things, a vocal variety, that you can vary your pace as well. And when you vary your pace, people will stand up and listen. Now, that's a different thing. They'll wonder what's going on if you vary your pace by saying, "Oh, I can't find my notes. I got to find my notes." So you just kind of mumble for a few minutes trying to find your notes. That's not a good thing. But if you're trying to make an important point, like pace is very important to how your message will be received by your audience, then learn to make an effective pace. Vary it, and your speaking will be better. So pace is one thing of the vocal variety. Pitch is another. Now, pitch simply means what high or low voice do you have. For instance, I can speak down here, or I can speak up here. Now, when you're speaking publicly, and you're a monologue presentation in a world that's very dialogue-oriented, changing the vocal pitch that you are working at will help people tune in. Now, there are some situations where that's especially helpful. I tend to listen to books in the car. Now, as I'm going around in my car, I've got a book going, and I found that most of the readers of those books who read them for recordings tend to adopt different voices at different times. And it's very helpful for me to figure out what's going on in a situation. So, for instance, if they're talking about a little child and the little child looks up and scared, you'll say, "I'm scared," and the pitch goes up. Or talking about somebody who's horribly depressed, the pitch goes down. "I just can't stand the thought of another day." Varying that pitch from down here to up there can allow people to all of a sudden tune in. Now, sometimes, it could be a male-female thing that you'll adopt a female voice if you're a male, or a male voice if you're a female, to say, "You know what? And then she said, get out of my sight, or something like that. Or he said, "Get out of my sight." That changing that pitch will allow people to tune in to what you're doing. And then, so we've got pace, we've got pitch. The third one of the P's of vocal variety is power, or the volume by which you speak. And you'll notice the cartoon there, that somebody who's just going on, like my professor from college, blah, 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 is going to be tuned out and people will fall asleep. So you have to speak with a certain volume that is appropriate to your speaking situation. Now, there are a couple of reasons why you want to focus on volume. One is to be heard. Now, you want people to hear you. If they can't hear you, they can't process your message. They can't. You won't be the channel of the Holy Spirit that you want to be in your preaching. And so what you have to try to do is minimize noise as much as you can. Now, is noise coming from a noisy machine? Well, then turn the thing off. Is noise coming from an open window? Well, maybe you should think about closing that window, because noise distracts people. Noise draws people that direction. In the first church I served in Southern California, before we relocated into a new building, we were moving, changing worship style into, you know, having songs on the screen rather than having them, you know, just in the hymn book. And we had the screen that would come down behind the pulpit area so that people could have the words to the songs projected on there. And then I would come up to preach. And they would put the screen up while I'm preaching, but when I would come up to preach. But the problem was the motor on that screen was so loud. It would be going, while I'm trying to give an introduction or read the scripture for my message. And so finally, you know, okay, what's the compromise here? This thing's got to stop. And so we found a way that they'd put the screen up before I would go up there or something like that, because I'm trying to eliminate noise. I'm trying to minimize it. Now, you can't minimize always a crying kid or something like that, but as much as it was within your power, minimize the noise. Minimize the distance. If there's people are sitting back there, ask them to come forward. You want it as close as possible so you don't have to shout too badly. You want to reach the back of your auditorium. Now, hopefully, you'll be speaking with a microphone most of the time, and so the people who are operating the sound system will be the ones who will determine how loud you should be there. But you have to be conscious of this too. Your idea is to be projecting to those people so that they hear your voice and understand and reach the back. And so if you're in a fairly small crowd, you can ask them to come forward, and then you can speak more conversationally. You can have a greater variety to your vocal pitch. You can do all of those things, but minimize the distance. And then to adapt as much as possible. Adapt your volume. Adapt your volume to the words you're saying. Now, if you're talking emotionally, you're talking about being very sad, well, you'll automatically get quieter. If you're talking about being excited, you'll automatically get louder. Adapt to that situation, as well as adapt to your audience. As I said, when I go to the nursing home, I know some of those people have hearing difficulties, and so I raise my volume several pitches just so that they will be able to hear me. So we want to deal with our volume in such a way that we are heard. But we also want to deal with our volume in such a way, that we are effective. And that means varying our volume. So it's not the same. It's not just that we're shouting at them all the time, that they sense that, you know, blast coming at them from us all the time. We vary it. We emphasize key words. Now, in your study and preparation of the message, you've identified, you know, this is the theme that I want. You've got some main points in an organization somehow. Those points should be said with greater volume than the lesser points. And people will receive that volume in a way that will make it understandable. For instance, you know, here's Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Now, let me read it differently. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Or I can read it, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Or I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Who gives? Do you get the difference? There's a slightly different emphasis as I put a different level of volume on key words. And that gets the message across to you that I'm trying to get to you. If I wanted to choose one of those, I would say that verse the same way every time. So pace and pitch, excuse me, I want to go back to this. Emphasizing key words. Your points should be louder. And that will help that message get across. You should finish sentences strong. Don't drag away. Many people have a practice of dropping at the end of sentences. In fact, when I was in a sermon class, it's what the speech guy came and said. You know what? You drop your sentences. And finish loud. Don't finish dying away. So, I can do all things who gives me strength. We're finally up to pause. I love this banner that I found. The right word may be effective, but nothing has ever been as effective as a rightly timed pause. There are two reasons why you'd want to pause that will add to the effectiveness of your speaking. One is to build suspense. I'm going to tell you a story, but I'm not going to give you the punchline. For instance, I heard David Platt once talk about being in Nepal and talking about climbing way up into villages that are far away from the major cities. And as he's talking to families there, he finds that there were some people who had been around and had purchased daughters, young daughters, had paid these families who were extremely poor. They struggled with feeding their children. But here was a young, prepossessing girl that they give them $100, which was a fortune there, and say they were going to take this child to down in the main city, and they would become kind of domestic servants. And when they were domestic servants, they would earn money and they would send money back home. Ideal kind of situation, solution to the overcrowding of a household. But they were actually taking these girls to brothels. And David Platt talked about this and just paused. And he said, $100. $100 to save a child. Why are we still letting this happen? Wow, powerful. And then pause to allow reflection. And say, think about that for a second. So these are ways in which you can use vocal variety to improve how your message is received by the people who are hearing it. And I encourage you to practice it. Practice it. If you've got to record what you do for a while, practice it just to make sure, and just practice it. Have someone else listen to it. And begin to practice the use of vocal variety in your messages. We'll see you next time.